In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We're on Lesson 8, which has to do with redemption. This is on page 52 in the Catechism. And it begins with this big part of the Apostles' Creed here: I believe in Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father the Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. It follows, there are four drawings with some captions that go with them. The first has to do with God's command. Quote from the book of St. John, "My Son is to die on the cross to show men I love them." Then it goes to temptation. The devil said to Mary, and then to Christ, "God's will is too hard. Do what you want instead." Then it moves to the victory. "Mary, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Father, thy will be done." And then the reward after the victory. "Jesus has entered into heaven itself to appear now before the face of God on our behalf." And that quoting the letter to the Hebrews. This victory reverses the defeat of Adam and Eve. In many ways, this command, temptation, victory, and reward are ours as well. We have the same command. Christ was commanded by the Father to die on the cross. We too are commanded to die unto our very selves, to die to sin, that grace may take its place. We have the same temptation. The enemy often says to us, "God's will is hard. Do what you want instead." The world and the flesh add to that temptation. The victory is ours insofar as we say with Mary, "Behold the handmaid," or "Behold the servant of the Lord." And we say to the Father, "Thy will be done." That is the victory. And the reward? Where Christ has entered into heaven, it is the same reward for us. We too can follow him into heaven. Question 90. What is meant by the redemption? By the redemption is meant that Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer of the whole human race, offered his sufferings and death to God as a fitting sacrifice in satisfaction for the sins of men, and regained for them the right to be children of God and heirs of heaven. Briefly, the redemption means Christ died for our sins. It was his loving obedience to his Father, even to the extreme point of dying on the cross, which redeemed us. The disobedience of Adam, and of all others who have listened to the devil and sinned, or will sin, had offended the Father deeply, because he loves us. But the act of love of Christ dying on the cross was more pleasing to the Father than our sins were displeasing to him. Because he was pleased, the Father accepted the sacrifice of his Son. He took him to heaven as a sign that he will take all others here, there, who will share in the sacrifice of his Son. The one who shared most in this was Mary. She reversed Eve's action. Eve refused God's will and brought death into the world. Mary accepted God's will and brought the Redeemer into the world, who won eternal life for us. Question 91. What were the chief sufferings of Christ? The chief sufferings of Christ were his bitter agony of soul, his bloody sweat, his cruel scourging, his crowning with thorns, his crucifixion, and his death on the cross. Regarding that bitter agony of soul, that is, and bloody sweat, that is a reference, or two references, to his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he saw and took upon himself the sins of the world. Only God could see all the sins of the world, and only Christ, of all of us, truly knows what sin does to the Father. And that is why, at that crucial moment, taking on the sins of the world, there were no angels present. They came afterwards. Not even Our Lady was present, because not even she could bear the sins of the world. Only God could have borne the weight. Question 92. When did Christ die? Christ died on Good Friday. Question 93. Where did Christ die? Christ died on Golgotha, a place outside the city of Jerusalem. Golgotha is a Hebrew word, and it means the place of the skull. The Romans called it Calvarius, or Calvary, as we say in English. Calvarius means a bare skull, or a skull without hair. This was a place of execution, and those who were executed were left to rot, and so the bones and the skulls were quite obvious to anyone who would walk by. Question 94. What do we learn from the sufferings and death of Christ? From the sufferings and death of Christ, we learn God's love for man and the evil of sin, for which God, who is all just, demands such great satisfaction. There are three things we can learn from the sufferings and death of Christ. We're on page 54 now. First, God's love for man. St. John tells us, in this we have come to know his love, that he laid down his life for us. Secondly, the evil of sin. He bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice. We cannot see the harm sin does to our soul, but studying the crucifix will help us to realize it. Our sins did that to him. Number three, the need for satisfaction. God could have forgiven sin without requiring any satisfaction, but he did even better. If he forgave us without any satisfaction, his justice would not have been satisfied, and we would always feel guilty. So he made it possible for us to make satisfaction for our sins. It's sort of like, if you will, thinking of, you go into a class and the teacher says, "Okay, you got an A." And you say, "But I didn't do anything. I did nothing." Teacher says, "That's okay. Did it all for you." Well, that is possible. It certainly is possible. Not that any such teacher would keep his job very long. But the student would feel deeply unsatisfied and would learn nothing. So this need for satisfaction, Christ did this by sending his Son. God did this by sending his Son, whose loving obedience even to the death of the cross pleased him more than sin displeased him. Secondly, by making it possible for us to share in that satisfaction through baptism and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. A, by baptism, which makes us members of the mystical body of Christ. Then Christ, the head of the body, can satisfy for us. It is like apologizing with your tongue for something you did wrong with your hands. B, by the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which offers to God all our actions, especially our sufferings, in union with those of Christ. Our own actions, even our best ones, and our own sufferings, even the worst ones we endure, could never, of themselves, please God as much as we have hurt him by sin. But when our actions, our sufferings, and our love are united with the actions and sufferings of the love of Christ, symbolized by the flame in this picture, and offered up with him in the Mass, then we can please God more than we have hurt him by sin. In other words, we can make full satisfaction for our sins through Christ. And in the picture there, the priest at the consecration lifting the host high up in the air, and the people with the priest offering this sacrifice to the Father, the whole thing is on fire that shows the flame of our love ascending into God, up to God. Justice is real. Sins demand payment. This is a key concept that only Christ can make up for what is lacking in our apology or our restitution. We must learn how to go to God, how to pray to Him when we are not beautiful, but when we're ugly with sin, when we are not pure, but when we are impure. Never to stay away from Him, even if we have sinned.